Viper.
And I forgot to start this one. How you doing, Tim?
Very good, sir. How are you?
Good.
And there's a lovely wife, Shauna. How you doing, Shauna?
It's great. It all started at band camp.
So wait, when did you guys meet?
We met at a party at a friend's house.
A party at a friend's house.
Yes.
And that was when she was young and you were older.
Correct.
Yes.
That's great. And you've been together for how long?
30 years.
30 years.
30 years.
Three kids.
Well, he's my fourth.
Okay. So what are the kids' names?
Tim, Kayla, and Zachary.
And how old are they?
Going to be 21, 19, and 17.
21, 19, and 17. And you guys live in New Jersey?
That is correct.
Where in Jersey?
Millville, New Jersey.
It's actually the armpit of New Jersey.
The armpit?
Yes.
It's southern New Jersey.
It's actually, if you look at the map, it's the armpit of New Jersey.
Because of how it's shaped right there? Does it smell?
It can sometimes.
It can.
But you wouldn't be disappointed.
So but what do you guys do there?
I am an assistant manager for a convenience store chain, Wawa.
Okay.
And it's famous in Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, Florida, and now D.C.
Okay.
So I'm assistant manager. I run a big high-volume store.
Cool.
And then I parent on the weekends and when I'm home from work. And other than that, just my sassy comments and my spitfire personality.
Gotcha. And yourself?
The same thing. I father and husband.
And he looks at this and goes, ooh, wifey's last nerve. I think I'm going to touch it.
And I also play for a veterans amputee football team. So.
No shit.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yes.
How many, I guess, teams are there in the league?
We only play against NFL alumni.
You're kidding me.
No. So we have about 3 games a year.
So how many are on your team?
About 15.
15 guys?
Yeah.
How'd you even get connected with that? How'd you
Believe it or not, through the VA, the Veterans Administration, they invited me out as a walk-on.
Okay.
Because the team was playing in my area.
Yep.
And they wanted local vets to come out and participate.
Okay.
But when I played on that game that day, The team liked me so much when I went out because of my energy and my willingness to get out and play as an amputee. They invited me to be a core member of the team. So now I'm a core member of the team. So now when we travel all around the country and play, so wherever we play,
that is awesome.
Yeah, so wherever we play at, you know, we play in Miami, we play against Miami Dolphins alumni. We play in Philly, we play against Eagle alumni, we play against, we play against wherever we are. Like, we just played, we played a game, and this was the first for this. We actually played a game during halftime on the field in Wisconsin, during halftime between the Wisconsin and the Dolphins game. And we played during halftime on the field. Now, we never play on the field.
What do you mean? Where do you play?
Like, we'll play on a college field, or we might play on the field.
Not on the actual NFL
on
field.
NFL. But we played at halftime during the game. Now, normally we play a 40-minute game, but being that it was halftime, we only got to play like a 10-minute game, 9-minute game. But to play in front of 75,000 people.
That's crazy.
It was insane.
That is awesome. So, okay. How many games have you done?
This will be my fifth year on
the
team.
Year.
Yeah.
And just, so 3 a year?
Yeah, about that.
Okay. So how did the disabled veterans even find out about this whole situation? Like,
A lot of it is word of mouth through other veterans communicating and through the VA system when the team comes to the local, to the area, they reach out to local vets because we want to, no matter where we play at, we try to bring in the local talent.
Okay.
We try to bring in as much local people to play as we can.
Right.
So even though our core team might only be 12 to 15 people, we might bring in 10 more, 12 more people that are local amputee vets to play with us when we play. And then we bring them in all throughout the game to play
What position?
I usually play center.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, okay, I would assume it's, you got 15 guys. Do you guys practice, like, throughout the year?
No. You don't? No, we don't.
So you just go to the game, get into it, and
We'll have meetings prior to the game, because we have, like, Kenny Mayne from, I forget which channel, I think he's CNN or one of the sports networks. I don't know if you ever heard the name Kenny Mayne, but big sports guy. Okay. He quarterbacks for us. Now, he's able-bodied, you know, and but he usually tells us what plays he wants to try and stuff like that before we go against these guys. Because these NFL guys, even though they're alumni, they still come out and they're playing hardcore, you know.
Yeah.
Like they're.
Well, it's gonna be, you know, you would hope they're not hitting as hard as they were.
Yeah, I mean,
on
it's still flag. It's flag.
Oh, it's flag.
It's flag.
Okay, that makes a lot.
Yeah, it's flag. But when you see how some of these games go, you'll see prosthetics flying off. You'll see blood. You'll see broken prosthetic limbs. Like, we gotta have prosthetists on the field.
Those aren't cheap.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who's if one of the prosthetic limbs breaks, who pays for that? Technically the organization, maybe.
It all gets squared away at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So, you're in the Marines.
Correct.
So how old were you when you went in?
I was 19.
19. What was your original motivation to even join?
Original motivation was I knew all along from the time I was a little kid that I was going up because it was just born in the bloodline that I was going through from great-grandfather, father. So they were all Marines that I knew that's what I was going to do. Extremely patriotic bloodline.
Right.
So I knew that as soon as I graduated, I was going into Marine.
Where'd you go to basic?
Paris Island. South Carolina. Yes.
Do you have any funny, unique stories that happened in basic?
Funny, unique stories? Other than one of the unique stories was when we were doing some training in basic, we had a guy that I tripped over, and when I tripped over him going back to the racks, we had our M16 secured to the rack, and I fell and I split my head open. Yeah, yeah, it was, because I didn't realize that I split my head open when it happened, and I know I hit my head, but I didn't know I cut it open, and then I ran back up to get online. And next thing you know, a drill instructor comes running, and he's like, "What?" I mean, I don't know if we can cuss or not, but he's like, "What the fuck did you do? What the fuck did you do?" And then next thing you know, I felt this warm gush just run down, and all this blood, and they had to stitch up my eye because it had split open. Yeah.
You nicknamed yourself?
Yeah.
He wrote me a letter while he was in the toilet. Wrote me a letter telling me about the incident. He's like, "My new nickname is Scar. Isn't that so cool?"
Yeah, because they had to bring me to the hospital and stitch it up and everything like that. But
so after you're out of basic, where did you go?
Luckily for me, because I was infantry, I just went to Camp Geiger for school infantry, and then right from there I went over to North Carolina to Camp Lejeune.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then where did you go as far as active?
I went to 3rd Battalion, 2nd Marines.
Okay.
And then we had deployed overseas to the Persian Gulf.
Okay.
And then that's where I sustained my original injury. And then it was back stateside and then processed out. I mean, you're jumping a couple years through all this, you know, jumping ahead. And then once I got out, it was multiple surgery after surgery after surgery trying to save the leg. And then they had to take the leg.
So what happened? What was the situation?
It was originally a crushing injury to the leg. That was the initial injury. And riding in a Zodiac, the leg got crushed because this was the leg that hung on the outside. And another Zodiac came in and crushed it.
Wow. So, it's a boat, right? Was this at night or day?
It was at night.
So that's why visually it was even harder even to see. Man, that's... It's terrible, but you're here today.
Yes.
Obviously. So how was it getting used? It's a tough question, but how was it getting used to having a prosthetic and walking with it?
This is a tough story to get used to because I went for quite a long time before the leg finally came off.
Okay.
But when they first took the leg, the initial transformation didn't go quite as well. And the VA told me I wasn't a suitable candidate for a prosthetic. So I went almost 10 years that they told me I wasn't a suitable candidate for a prosthetic. So I went that length of time believing that I wasn't a suitable candidate for a prosthetic. So I was confined to a wheelchair and crutches.
So what finally pushed it over the edge of them going, okay, you're now suitable?
I got invited to an amputee golf game.
Okay.
And when I got there, I was the only guy there who wasn't on a prosthetic.
Okay.
And there was just happened to be a prosthetist there who kept questioning why I didn't have a prosthetic. And I kept telling him, you know, that the VA, and I'm not, let me just clarify that I'm not bad mouthing the VA.
I totally understand.
But I was at one VA versus a different VA, and he was at a different VA. And he had recommended, he said, there's no reason why you shouldn't be walking. And I didn't know that because I just took the doctor's word for it.
Right.
And I transferred.
I'm sure you were pissed a little bit. I mean,
or
a lot. Yeah.
And I transferred my care to the VA that he wanted me to transfer it to. And he had me up and walking in 30 days.
30. That's it? So you had to be freaking out when you finally were able to.
I was completely blown away.
Video, everything.
He had me actually up and walking within a week on a leg that he made from parts in the shop.
Where he would go and practice.
Yeah. And then...
Here's the best part. Our son, our youngest son.
Yeah.
That was the first time he ever saw his father walk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he was an infant when he lost his leg.
Right.
So he never saw his father walk until he got that prosthetic.
And the fact that now you're playing NFL players?
Yeah.
And center?
It's insane.
That's crazy.
And then to come out, like, this is the first event that I've been invited out to, like, through a veterans organization
right.
that I've been able to come out, other than the football. So I've never been invited out. And to be invited out to something like this is just... insanely.
Were you
humbling.
Nervous at all because being on a boat and
no, because I boat at home. I've never sailed, but
okay.
I've been out on you know smaller.
Well, no, I mean yeah, but that's different than on a sailboat when you're like rocking and going
yeah.
sideways. I was nervous. I didn't, you know, I was nervous.
I was just waiting for him to fall over.
Yeah, that's why you didn't see me get up a whole lot when the boat was tacking.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I was like
totally.
I was like, get up, no, it's
kidding. But. It was just amazing. It was amazing. And Bob and the crew and everybody was just, yeah.
Yeah, those guys have been coming out for a long time. They've got, and it's a good mix of like young and old.
Yeah.
But they all got, they all know.
They all bring something to the table.
They all bring something to the table and they all knew how to read each other, which is very important.
I was literally impressed with everything.
Yeah.
So, how many different prosthetics have you gone through?
This will be my third.
Your third?
Yes.
And you obviously had, who painted that? Is that painted on or?
Believe it or not, this is a t-shirt that they cut out and molded underneath of epoxy.
Way.
Yeah. You can actually see the ridges of the t-shirt.
Oh no, I can totally see that.
Yep.
So how much, if someone's going to have to buy this on their own, how much does that cost?
The whole setup?
Yeah.
The whole setup from foot to socket would probably be anywhere between $80,000 and $100,000.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and most of that's in the knee.
Now that, he can go swimming with that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's completely waterproof.
What is it?
And it's got microprocessors. Yeah, titanium.
Titanium.
It's got microprocessors in it.
And then how far in, like where does your...
My stump is about right here.
About to right there.
Yeah.
Okay. Does it, is it comfortable finally?
The socket is extremely comfortable. because the company that I work with that builds my prosthetics, they put, this is the most important component, is the socket. If the socket doesn't fit right and it's not comfortable, no matter what you put from here down, all this stuff is pretty much universal. But if this doesn't fit right, it doesn't matter what you put on underneath.
And what's that knob?
This is, it's actually vacuum seal, or it's vacuum, so it's suction. So when you, the way you get this to hold on is when you push in, this is a one-way valve, so you push all the air out, and that causes a vacuum. So then it,
got it.
Yep, and then when you want to take it off, you push it, it releases the air, and then you can pull the leg off.
So with the other guys on the team, obviously they have different prosthetics.
Oh, yeah, because you have below knee, you have above knee, you have, you know, guys that are bilateral that might have one below knee, one above knee. You know, you have guys that have bilateral and they're missing an arm, you know, or we have guys on the team that are missing all four limbs, you know, that are in a wheelchair, and we push them, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
So do they live close to you? Or?
No, everybody on the team is scattered across the whole United States, yeah.
I'm sure you've become pretty close with them.
Oh, yes.
Is it the same guys, like each game?
No, we pretty much, I mean, the core team is the core team, but it switches every now and then. You have a couple that fall off because you have guys that are going to school full-time. You know, their family life commitment changes,
right,
you know, and stuff like that. So,
what organizations do you get involved with as far as veteran organizations?
Your typical, you know, back home, your Marine Corps League, VFW, American Legion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you do any coaching or any talks with any other younger vets that all of a sudden they've got to have a prosthetic, and you kind of explain?
I do that through the prosthetic company that I get my work done through when they need me, when they have new people that come through. And it's not just vets either. It could be anybody through a traumatic injury, car accident or something like that.
Right.
Or when someone, say, diabetes or something like that loses a limb, they might call me up and say, hey, we got somebody new coming in. That's getting fitted now. It might not be right when the surgery happened because, you know, the transition there, but they might just be coming in for their first fitting. And his name's Tim also, the guy who owns the prosthetic place. And they'll be like, hey, can you come in this day and just make it a coincidence that you're sitting in the office when they come in? And then you just make it a coincidence that you're there when these other people come in, and then I just kind of strike the conversation, and then we just bounce it back and forth, and we talk that way. It doesn't seem like it was set up to be that way, and then you let them know that, you know, it's not the end of the world, you know, that it'll be a struggle at first, but, you know, you will overcome and all that good stuff like that.
That's great.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that you, once you were able to walk again, that it was a huge weight lifted. Like, what, to kind of describe when you finally realized, like, I'm mobile again.
Oh, yeah. I was in a super dark place after all those years when that was going on. And after meeting him and seeing that my life, at that point, I was a little bit hesitant because I had lived so long like that. But when that light was shining through the tunnel, and we were making that little bit of progress at the shop, and then, like, within 7 days, we were up walking on the bricks came off, and everything glowed, and I was like, it was, like, life-changing, and then I haven't looked back since, and then I just figured from this point on, I mean, I still have other disabilities that hinder me from doing a lot of things, but one of my key things that I always say is that I'm not going to let my disabilities define me. I'm going to define my disabilities, you know, and I take it day by day and just press on.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So now that you've, let's call it overcome, what's some inspiring words you tell any other person, that military or not military, about what kind of mindset they should have to keep going?
Yeah, a lot of it has to do with patience and perseverance. Like, you really have to have patience, because when it comes to prosthetics, it's like you'll have a prosthetist that'll tell you they're going to put the best knee on you. But when you're a new amputee, you have no idea what the best knee is. And it's really not important what the best knee is. It's the fit of the socket. Because if you don't have a comfortable fitting socket, it doesn't matter if they put a $10,000 knee on you or a $100,000 knee on you. You'll never wear it if the socket's not comfortable. So you really have to be proactive in the service part of when everything's going on. You know, like, voice your opinion. If it doesn't fit right, let them know it doesn't fit right. But the main thing is that, you know, you have to be interactive with everybody, and you just need to hang in there, and, you know, the light will get better at the end of the tunnel.
Well, I commend you for going through it, but I could see in the look in your eye that you're happy overall.
Oh, most definitely.
Well, and again, thank you for your service, obviously. And you've got a pretty cool wife. She's pretty funny. And I'm sure that she's been a rock for you along the way.
Oh, yeah. Without her and my kids, I would never have gotten to where I am. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to close this out. We'll see. Voices live on. Voices live on for veterans. The voices of sailing. And this guy has done it all. And we had a good time in the boat, too. And for Casey Marks and Smart Money Radio, it's a heck of a guy. Thanks, Tim.
You're quite welcome. Thank you.
You got it.
Yeah, but it's really bad here.